Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Toronto-based jazz drummer and composer Ernesto Cervini on the 2022 CD called Joy. We caught up with him on the day of its release, October 7th, 2022, from Finland, where he is currently on tour. Joy was inspired by a set of books from a New York Times bestseller, and he talks about this, and it delves into the qualities of goodness, decency, courage, and love that permeate all of it. He was moved to compose music that captures the characters, landscapes, and relationships that were created in this world. We cover this album, touring, COVID life, and so much more. He's a wonderful cat and a regular around Neon Jazz Land. Dig this interview.
So where are you located right now?
I'm in Vaasa, Finland.
Oh, wow, man. So what's Finland like?
I mean, we just got to Finland today. You know, it's very beautiful. Right now it's very dark and it just started to rain. It's like definitely fall here.
Yeah.
All the leaves have changed. But yeah, it's beautiful. You know, it's nice to be out on the road.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, coming from where I'm at, from behind the microphone, for as long as I've talked to people that are like, yeah, you know, nothing's really going on, and we're just kind of waiting, it's so good to hear that everybody's out and about.
Yes, yes, we deserve this.
Yes, it's the karmic paycheck. Ernesto Cervini, you're in Finland. It's so good to see that you guys are on tour. And I think the other thing, too, is that's so great is that you have an album, and it's like a new beginning. So before we get in to Joy, how did you survive COVID, and how did this process change you and you know, make you look at what you do differently?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, COVID was definitely challenging. I have two young kids at home, so they kind of help not only keep us busy, but they also help keep things in perspective. You know, when you're around children, all the stuff that you think is so important, especially when it comes to your job, they kind of help you realize, it's like, that doesn't really matter. Like, what really matters is you know, family and hanging out. So that was one thing that helped. Like, just, you know, having the kids at home just meant that our days were very busy all the time. And then I actually got into a really great music routine during the pandemic, because I wasn't leaving the house very often or at all for a while. So I got into a great practice routine. Just it became kind of easier to keep things, it became easier to create a routine and keep things on schedule because there was nothing getting in the way. So I found that really, really actually surprisingly helpful in terms of getting through. I mean, to bring it to this new album, I ended up writing a lot of the music for this new album at the beginning of the pandemic. I had got the idea of writing a bunch of music based on these detective novels, and then I think I had written a couple songs, and then when the pandemic hit, and, you know, I just had, you couldn't, for especially at the beginning, there was really no playing at all. It just gave me something else to pour my focus into, and I wrote all this music.
The thing about this album is that it and I heard this, I hear this more and more from musicians. It's almost like this album is tailored to be something you have to listen to start to finish. It's like a like a novel. It's like it's this grandiose, you know, kind of you know, there's an entry point and there's an exit point, and you can't really hop around and take one piece. You have to take it kind of as a whole. And I think that's the thing that's fun about this album. The artwork's awesome. It just has a really good feel to it. So talk to me a little bit about kind of your vision going into it, and what you would like to see the listener, how you would like to see them approach this project.
So I'll give a little backstory first. So the album is called Joy, and it's all music that was inspired by these detective novels by this wonderful author named Louise Penny. And the detective novels, you know, like any detective novel, there's a crime at the beginning, and usually someone dies. But they're not really, they're definitely not dark. The books are actually very fun and light and full of love and full of joy and full of, like these incredibly rich characters. And so I fell in love with these books about 4 or 5 years ago and got the idea to start writing all this music. And so, so I just started along the process. And, you know, one of the things that I wanted to make sure when I made this album is that although the songs are all inspired by these books, I wanted to make sure that I didn't alienate people who hadn't read the books. It was important to me that the music could stand on its own, whether you're, you know, whether you have that background knowledge or not. So I tried to make sure that everything kind of worked out on its own. And then if you have read the books, then you'll just get an even richer experience listening to this music, because you'll kind of be able to visualize what I'm trying to portray.
You know, the one thing about releasing new material now is obviously, as we've established, there's live music that's starting to happen. I mean, you're in Finland. I mean, there's so many things that are going on. But from your perspective, not only is somebody that is a musician, but you're somebody that has the reins of a label, and you're promoting other artists. You know, what did COVID, now that we're kind of coming out of this, how do you see this period of COVID and slowing down and musicians getting extra production skills and kind of looking within, how do you see that strengthening the jazz community? And as I mentioned in Kansas City, you know, there's a free series to kind of help people come back into a live environment. But from your perspective in Toronto, obviously you're international touring now. What do you see the strengths in the rebuilding of the jazz community kind of materializing and taking hold?
Well, there's a couple things there, and hopefully I can remember both of my thoughts. We'll see. I'm working on very little sleep over the past couple of days, so if I was off the track, I apologize.
All good.
So I see that as, I see two parts of it. I think as musicians, we realized just how much we love what we do. And so it kind of really strengthened people's, you know, commitment to this. And then you're right, it also reminded people to just sharpen up their skills on all the other parts of music. Because to be a professional musician, it's not just about being a good player. You have to, as you were saying, people got into production, or, you know, I mean, everyone was like learning how to make videos and working on doing remote stuff. And I actually learned how to use Final Cut Pro, which is a great video program. And it was because of that. I mean, I always wanted to do it. And then the pandemic was kind of the thing that forced me to do it. But then I also think I've noticed even in Toronto, there's a huge appetite for live music again. I don't think it's a coincidence that the last time there was a worldwide pandemic, it was followed by the Roaring Twenties. And so it kind of was, you know, it was almost exactly 100 years ago. And I think it was the Spanish flu that like knocked out a bunch of people. And then there was the Roaring Twenties, where there was just this explosion of creativity and people were going out and everyone wanted to be with people. Now, obviously, the world is very different now than it was in 1920. But I feel like there is a little bit of that, too, where, you know, everyone just wants to make those personal connections again. And whether it's being on stage with people and making music together, or whether it's being in the audience and watching people and being in the same room as people who are making music, I think both are such powerful, you know, emotional things. And when they were taken away from us, it was done, it just all happened very quickly. So, you know, there wasn't like this huge, you know, ramping down, or it's like, okay, we're going to slowly start closing things and you're going to just step back a little by little. It was just like, boom, everything's closed. I think it shocked, I mean, sure as hell shocked me, and I'm sure it kind of shocked everyone. And at first it was kind of fun and novel and like, wow, we don't have to go to work, this is neat. And then it kind of wasn't that anymore. Yeah, so I think it's just, you try to make the best out of every situation, and obviously that was a very trying situation, and you know, it was a very tragic situation for a lot of people. But I think the recovery is that people are realizing, you know, how finite life can be, and so you kind of want to take advantage of every moment that you have by being with the people you love, doing the things you love, and just take advantage of all of that, because, you know, I don't think anyone thought that it could be taken away from us, and then it was.
So yeah,
now, you know, now it's like, okay, I'm going to make sure I go out. Or, you know, you think of all the, like, jazz greats that passed away in the past three years. You know, I don't remember the last time I saw Chick Corea live, but I certainly didn't think it was going to be the last time. And so I think it also has made people realize, you know, you got to take advantage of what you can do today, because who knows what tomorrow is going to look like.
Yeah, I felt like probably about 2 or 3 months into the whole thing that the world hired David Lynch to do a remake of the Twilight Zone movie. You know, it's like, here we go. Let's go. He's got the hair, yeah, and the big cigarette in his mouth, and he's yelling cut. So today is the actual release day of Joy, which is wonderful that we're talking today.
Yeah, it's very exciting. It's such a funny thing, because I woke up, well, as you said, I'm in Finland right now. I woke up this morning in Denmark, and we're 8 hours. I'm 8 hours ahead of you.
Yeah,
that's why I called you. So when I woke up at 6 a.m., you know, it was still yesterday evening there. And so I woke up and I was like, oh, my album comes out today. And then I kind of looked at my computer and I was like, all right, I don't think that really, I don't know what changes for me.
Yeah.
you know, it's out there now. And I'm excited to see what people think of it. And I'm excited to hear, you know, how it affects people and how, and if people are enjoying it. I try not to read too much into the, like, looking at my Spotify numbers or anything like that. But I'm just happy that it's out there, and I'm happy that I get to share it with the world, because it's my baby. I'm really proud of it.
It's a wonderful album that plays like a novel. It really does. And it has that feeling where you want to go cover to cover instead of hopping around. I mean, we're in that, you know, realm of instant access to everything, but I really believe that the beauty of this is that it really does kind of play out like a novel. So, Ernesto, you always put out wonderful material. You're always making the jazz world a better place to live in, so it's great to catch up with you actually on this day. And we tend to be regular about our correspondence with albums and all of that, so it's cool that you're in Finland. And I always love talking to people that are ahead of me, because I love the future, so I get a little peek into things.
Well, absolutely.
Good luck in the playoffs. Good luck with the album. Before we get off, let's get to the good business. Tell everybody the best, most ideal place to either buy the album, to stream it, and anything related to your tour and anything going on with you and the band.
Well, I would say the best place to get the album would be on Bandcamp, especially today, because today is Bandcamp Friday, where they don't take a cut. So if you want to check it out, you can stream it there, you can listen to it there, and then if you like it, you can buy it there. You can buy physical, and you can buy digital on Bandcamp. It's just ErnestoCervini.bandcamp.com. And that's absolutely the best way to support any musician. But you can also find it on all the streaming sites. It's all there now. I'm out on tour with the Joel Fromm Trio, and we just started a two-week tour, so that's going to be super fun, and hopefully we did a tour of California last in the summer, so hopefully we can do another U.S. tour soon.
Ernesto, have a great tour, man. It's great to catch up with you, and yeah, hopefully we'll have a good tale to tell about the Blue Jays this year.
Oh, I sure hope so. Well, we'll keep in touch for sure.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Toronto, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Ernesto for always being very cool about what he does and the music. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit neonjazz at youtube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz, go to theneonjazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.